Doesn't Israel have a right to exist?
No. Wait. Hold on. Now, before somebody accuses me of calling for genocide, which I am explicitly not, I should probably elaborate a little bit. Although I do think it's kind of weird that me saying these words with my mouth is considered genocidal by some, but those same people would say that literally carpet bombing densely populated residential areas and civilian infrastructure, killing tens of thousands of children and starving hundreds of thousands more, is not genocide. Genocide? Not genocide. Genocide? Not genocide. Get it? Yeah, me neither. Anyway, moving on. When people ask me this question,
doesn't Israel have a right to exist?
My initial reaction is to say, who the fuck are you and how did you get into my house?
No, see, this is my house now. It was promised to me 3,000 years ago.
According to who?
Well, according to this book.
Well, who wrote the book?
Well, I did.
Oh, yeah, well, that's kind of convenient then, isn't it? And the question itself, doesn't Israel have a right to exist, bothers me and strikes me as fundamentally, how do I put this, fucking stupid. Because it seems to imply that not only does Israel have the right to exist as a specifically Jewish ethnostate, but also the right to exist in its current specific location and to exist forever, and that its existence is unconditional and it should continue to exist no matter what kind of evil, heinous shit the Israeli government or its citizenry might do. I mean, do we think of other countries in this way? Do all countries and all governments have the right to exist regardless of where they are or how they behave? But then if all countries have a right to exist, then didn't Palestine have a right to exist before it was invaded by a bunch of Israeli settlers? What right to exist does Israel currently enjoy that the country of Palestine did not enjoy for the, you know, 12 to 1300 years that it existed before it was invaded by non-Palestinians? And for these things and these groups and these governments that have a right to exist, is that right to exist unconditional? Or are there things that those groups of people might do that would render their right to exist non-existent? What if, hypothetically, if I, as a person with the right to exist, were to dive headfirst into a fucking wood chipper, would I still have the right to exist? Probably. Would it matter anymore? Absolutely not. And in the same way, if I, hypothetically, as an individual, were to drop more explosives by weight on a densely populated residential area than was dropped on Hiro friggin' Shima, or committed tens of thousands of war crimes over an entire century against non-combatant civilians, or instigated constant wars of aggression against all of my neighbors, is there a point where my right to exist would no longer be worth a good goddamn? And furthermore, does the right to exist mean that you have the right to freeload off of other people in perpetuity? Does my right to exist entitle me to live on your mom's couch rent-free and eat all of her food and just basically be a mooch? No. My right to exist does not entitle me to that. But the absolutely god-tier dick-giving that I give to her every single night absolutely does. But unlike me and your mom, who have a very, very reciprocal relationship, Israel has been mooching off of the American taxpayer for basically its entire existence, and the only thing that we've gotten in return is a series of pederast, Moloch-worshipping, kitty-diddling billionaires. The point I'm getting at is this. The question of whether or not Israel has a right to exist is ignorant at best and disingenuous at worst. It smacks of Israeli exceptionalism and Jewish supremacy. And let me tell you, brother, I have had just about enough of both of those things. Thank you very much. So for the duration of this video, I am going to respond in no particular order to some of the more common arguments that I hear in favor of Israel's right to exist, so that you and I might be in a better position to respond the next time we hear that kind of thing. And to kick things off, I'd like to start with one of the least controversial arguments in favor of Israel's right to exist.
Israel has a right to exist because of the Holocaust.
Couldn't give a shit. Couldn't give a single goddamn solitary shit about the Holocaust anymore. Whatever goodwill the Jewish people were entitled to as a consequence of being victimized by the Holocaust is completely gone at this point, as far as I'm concerned. You were handed a blank friggin' check, and you squandered it. No more, okay? No more. Not after Gaza, Not after Afghanistan or Iraq or all of the other Middle East wars that you'll have lied us into. Not after JFK. Not after Rabbi Shmuley and his weird pubic hair beard and his constant whining and his incestual sex toy fetish thing with his daughter. Whatever's going on there, I don't want to know. No more. Okay? You're done. You're cut off. The Holocaust gravy train has left the station. I am reasonably certain of one thing, and that is that the Palestinians had absolutely nothing to do with it. So why then should they have to give up their land and suffer 100 years of brutality and indignity and degradation for something that they had nothing to do with? If I get robbed at gunpoint, I am not then justified in going out and robbing some other random person at gunpoint. That isn't justice. That's just me perpetuating further injustice. So the Israelis taking away land from the Palestinians because of the Holocaust just never made any sense to me. And while we're on the subject of the Holocaust, I would like to very quickly hear from a person who survived the Holocaust, someone whose grandparents were killed in the Holocaust, Dr. Gabor Mate.
I'm sure you've heard this statement before, the Hebrew word for the Holocaust is Shoah, and there's an old saying, there's no business like Shoah business. It's been exploited to the hilt, and, you know, I'm somebody whose grandparents died in Auschwitz, who nearly ended up there myself, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of hearing about it, not because didn't happen, but because what it has been pressed into the service of. Much of the intention of the Holocaust academia has got nothing to do with trying to change the world's relationship to cruelty and unfairness. It's to establish a sense of Jewish exceptionalism so that we're the perpetual victims and that everything we do is justified. Everything that's done to us is an outrage. So teaching about the Holocaust teaches nobody anything. You can preach about morality in the service of the most nefarious causes. And that's what we're seeing right now.
Let it be known, YouTube, that I do not hate Jewish people. And I do not hold individual Jewish people accountable for the misbehavior and war crimes of the Israeli government. I stand proudly in solidarity with the very small but very vocal minority of Jewish people who are standing up and saying something about this criminal apartheid state in Israel. People like Gabor Mate and Brett Weinstein and Dave Smith and Norman Finkelstein. These men and women inherited the same exact intergenerational trauma as the rest of the Jewish population, and yet they did not allow it to turn them into genocidal psychopaths. Point being, no one's allowed to invoke the Holocaust anymore. Okay, we're done. Clean slate. We're starting over. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying I don't care anymore. I have reached peak Holocaust fatigue. There have been many, many, many other genocides throughout history, including the one that the Israeli government is perpetuating right now. And they are all terrible, and they all should not have happened. So, point being, you're not special, okay? What else you got?
Israel is our ancestral homeland. We were there first.
First of all, no. You are not the original inhabitants of that land. The original inhabitants, according to your own holy book, were the tribes of Canaan. And you stole the land from them, again, according to your own holy book, after you butchered them mercilessly. Men, women, children, and livestock. A time-honored tradition of land acquisition through genocide that the Israelites continue to this very day. And this is why it's especially gross for Netanyahu to explicitly reference Amalek, one of the Canaanite tribes which were slaughtered by the Israelites in the Old Testament, and use that as justification for his brutality against Palestinian children. But even if we were to concede the point and say, okay, you're great-great-grandparents murdered a bunch of women and children and stole their land, and so that, for some reason, gives you entitlement to the land that they stole. I'm not saying that, but, you know, just hypothetically speaking. The other problem is that a bunch of Jewish people are not of the direct lineage of Abraham and Isaac. Okay? You can become Jewish through marriage. You can become Jewish through conversion. So even if we were to say that some of you have some claim to that land based on bloodline lineage, which, again, I am not saying, that claim would certainly not extend to anyone who joined the Tiny Hat Club through conversion. Which brings me to Ivanka Trump. Ivanka Trump converted to Orthodox Judaism in 2009 before her marriage to Jared Kushner, and is of Czech and German descent. I would say that she doesn't have any Jew in her at all, but she does get about 2.5 inches every now and again whenever Jared can take a break from drinking the blood of innocent Gazan children from a golden chalice. But regardless of her ethnicity, she is officially recognized as Jewish by the rabbinic authority in Israel. My favorite part of this is that apparently the chief rabbis of Israel had to change the standards by which people are considered Jewish in order for Ivanka specifically to qualify, but qualified she is, apparently. Which means if there was a dispute over land in Palestine between Ivanka Trump, this absolute Aryan master race of a blonde woman with absolutely no Semitic lineage whatsoever, and any average Palestinian who can trace their bloodline in Palestine back for 1,300 years, well, according to Israel, that contest would go to Ivanka Trump. Hands down. Which, pardon my French, is really fucking stupid. Hey there, folks. Future John here, finishing up the editing for this video. Just wanted to pop in and let you know that I am apparently currently being actively monitored by the Israeli intelligence community. A friend of mine just sent me these Google Trend screenshots that apparently shows that my full legal name has been searched at least twice by somebody in Israel since I started making content about the Israeli government, which is great. Yay. Now, I don't know how conclusive this is. You know, it could be a coincidence. But just in case it's true, I wanted to take this opportunity to say hello to the Mossad agents who are taking time out of their very busy schedule murdering Palestinian and Lebanese children to work my case. It's very kind of you. I also wanted to say on camera to everybody watching that I am not suicidal. I very much enjoy being alive. I am blessed with many good people in my life who love me very, very much and who put up with my bullshit. And my current plan is to stay alive as long as I possibly can so that I can continue to annoy those people with my chicanery and tomfoolery. So yeah, so if anything bad happens to me, then I guess we know. Now, I also wanted to take the opportunity to say thank you to everyone who watched and liked and commented on my last video. As of the time of this recording, it's sitting just under 140,000 views. You know, before I launched that video, I was sitting at like 100 subscribers and most of them were family and friends. And now I'm sitting at 4,700 subscribers. I don't even know what to say to that, guys. And I'm not just going to say it was thanks to the algorithm, because all of you good people who watched it and commented on it and gave me feedback, I have you to thank for that. And I'm very grateful and humbled for that. Anyways, enough of that. I just wanted to say thank you to everybody. And yeah, let's get back to the video.
But Israel needs that land so that Jewish people have a place to be safe.
This one is by far the most clinically insane, batshit, bug nuts, crazy argument of all of them. So let me get this straight. You needed a place for the Jewish people to be safe, somewhere where they would not be an oppressed minority among other people, right? And out of everywhere on the entire planet, you picked a piece of land that already had 1.3 million Muslims living in it, and that was surrounded by 40 to 50 million other Muslims in the greater Middle East. And then you decided to spend the next 100 years killing, torturing, raping, and humiliating every Muslim that you could get your grubby little fingers on. And this was your plan to keep the Jewish people safe? This is like deciding to take your family on a picnic in the middle of an active minefield. It would have been safer to build Israel on the bottom of the ocean or the surface of the goddamn sun, rather than in the middle of millions of ideologically aligned people that you decided to mistreat and abuse for decades. Even if I were to concede that Jewish people, whoever or whatever they are, have the right to establish their own country, which I don't necessarily concede, it is obvious and self-evident at this point that having that homeland in Palestine is not safe. It is the opposite of safe. It is anti-safe. And it's not only unsafe for the Jewish people that are living there, but because of this constant brutality and war crimes and evil that has been perpetuated there, it has generated a great deal of very understandable animosity towards the other Jewish people around the planet, including, again, the very vocal minority of Jewish people who are anti-Zionist and who have been speaking out against Israeli war crimes for many years. I guess what I'm trying to say is that the idea that the Jewish homeland being where it is, making Jewish people safe, has absolutely no foundation whatsoever in reality land. And if someone chooses to shoot themselves in the foot with a nail gun over and over and over again, there's only so much sympathy that I can have for you. At some point, I have to stop caring, and I'm kind of there, and I've kind of been there for a while now. Anyway, what else you got?
Palestine was just a desert before the Israelis got there. Ooh.
So this one gets packaged up as the Jewish people made better use of the land in Palestine than the Palestinians did, and so they were therefore justified in stealing it. Israelis like to build and Arabs like to bomb, right? Or no, what's the other one? It's a land without a people for a people without a land. Right? Well, first of all, Palestine was not a land without a people. There were 1.3 million Palestinians living there before the Nakba. And Palestine had a rich and beautiful culture before being colonized, as expertly captured by one of the Arab world's first prominent photographers, Khalil Rad. By the way, highly recommend you look him up. I'm going to show a handful of his pictures here, but there are way, way more, and they're all beautiful. And second of all, it may be true that Palestine was not a wealthy country before being colonized, but on the other hand, they didn't have Baron Edmund de Friggin' Rothschild and the Jewish National Fund dumping boatloads of money into developing their infrastructure. I bet if they had that kind of money to play with, they could have done some cool stuff with it. But regardless, this line of reasoning implies that if you can make better use of somebody else's property, you are justified in stealing it, which is the textbook foundation of colonialism. This way of thinking dates back to John Locke in the late 1600s and his Second Treatise of Government, which argued that land that isn't actively being used or developed in some European agricultural or industrial sense is not actually owned by anybody and is eligible to be taken over and occupied by whoever is willing to work on it. This informed the legal doctrine of terra nullius, which was the primary legal mechanism used to justify the British colonization of Australia, as well as the colonization of America and the genocide of the indigenous peoples of both of those continents. In more common terms, let me put it to you this way. If your family owned 10 acres of land that you weren't maybe doing a whole lot with. You weren't actively developing it for any industrial purposes. Would Sam Altman be justified in kicking you off of that land and stealing it to build an OpenAI data center? Or how about this? If you drive to work every morning by yourself in a four-seater sedan, would a family of four be justified in stealing it from you at gunpoint because technically speaking, they can use it more efficiently? Obviously not. In either case, the efficiency with which a piece of property is being used has absolutely nothing to do with the legitimacy of property rights, or at least it shouldn't. We left that way of thinking behind a long time ago in terms of colonizing by force. And it's probably a good thing that we did that. Anyway, what else you got?
Israel wants peace, but the Palestinians keep choosing terrorism.
First of all, there is a very, 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 very well documented history of the Israeli government directly funding and empowering Hamas. Starting in the 1970s, Israeli officials directly financed the Muslim Brotherhood-connected Islamic Resistance Movement, which would eventually become Hamas, in a deliberate attempt to counterweight the Palestine Liberation Organization, or PLO. And the Netanyahu administration continued this well into the late 2010s through direct financial payments to Hamas, as much as $15 million per transaction in the form of literal suitcases full of cash. During an interview with one of Israel's largest mainstream newspapers, Gershon Hakoin, former IDF general and personal associate of Netanyahu, said the following, quote, "Netanyahu's strategy is to prevent the option of two states, so he is turning Hamas into his closest partner. Openly, Hamas is an enemy. Covertly, it's an ally." So in other words, for the past 50 to 60 years, the Israeli government has been directly and deliberately funding and propping up a terrorist organization for the purposes of maintaining controlled opposition. As long as Hamas is the face of Palestine, it justifies the kind of brutal tactics that the Israeli government uses against the Palestinian population generally, and it makes it a lot easier to deny them statehood. So this whole "Israel just wants peace" line is demonstrably false. But regardless of that, even if the Israelis weren't propping up Hamas, which they are, Palestinians have no interest in being under a Jewish apartheid regime. You can't occupy and brutalize people against their will for 100 years and then be shocked when they inevitably fight back.
Gaza is essentially the largest open-air prison on the planet, which would make Hamas less of a terrorist organization and more like the largest prison gang that is fighting for its freedom.
This whole subject of Israel funding Hamas and propping them up is a very, very, very deep rabbit hole and has many implications for October 7th, but I'm not going to be able to do justice for it in this video. Maybe I'll do another video about that at some point. If you'd have interest in that subject, let me know down in the comments. Anyway, folks, in conclusion, I would like to reiterate that while I am very critical of the Israeli government and the Zionist project more generally, I do not hate Jewish people. I do not hate anyone for immutable characteristics, but I do reserve the right to judge them for their behavior. And this includes passing judgment on groups that decide to self-associate based on their ethnicity. It's not my fault that they're doing this and they're citing their ethnicity as justification. That is what is happening, and I'm just calling it out for what it is. But regardless of all that, I am a peaceful person. I am not calling for violence. I do not wish harm on anyone, and certainly not because of immutable characteristics. I don't know what the solution to this problem is, okay? And I'm not pretending like I do. I'm just expressing my frustration with the level of entitlement and hypocrisy that I see when it comes to Israel and the people who defend Israel. I'm sure that there are other arguments in favor of Israel's existence that I didn't have time to get to. If there are and you're aware of them and you'd like for me to talk about them, let me know down in the comments. Maybe I'll do a follow-up video at some point. Also, if you disagree with any of the points that I made, or if I got anything wrong, let me know down in the comments. I'm not above admitting when I get stuff wrong. And once again, thank you for the overwhelming amount of support on my last video. I'm stunned at the amount of views and subscriptions that came as a result of that. I'm very humbled by that. I don't know what more to say about it, except thank you very much. And especially if you're one of the good people that have watched this video all the way to the end, man, I am, again, humbled and grateful. Anyways, folks, appreciate you all very much. Be blessed. We'll see you in the next video.